On Saturday, June 6th, the voices of thousands of protesters echoed through the streets of downtown Sacramento as demonstrators from Sacramento and the surrounding area gathered in support of the George Floyd Peace March to the Capitol. The march was one of many Black Lives Matter protests across the country in the aftermath of George Floyd's murder in Minnesota. March participants holding signs with a variety of messages, including suffocate hate, socially distance from racism, and end police brutality, marched from the Golden One Center to Cesar Chavez Plaza. The demonstrators chanted demanding justice and change as they followed the route past the state capitol building.
Justice! Now!
Protesters poured into the plaza as speakers began addressing the crowd. Speakers from the mayor of Sacramento, Daryl Steinberg, to the Sacramento Kings chairman, Vivek Ranadive, took up the microphone.
Change may be hard, but it's nothing compared to Black people having to endure again and again.
Ranadive led thousands in the plaza and surrounding streets in taking a silent knee, a symbol common among protesters nationwide. Other speakers encouraged listeners to continue educating themselves and to remain active and engaged in their communities.
We are at a turning point in our nation, with a generation of people who are ready to stand together. We're marching together. Now we're going to pray together. And I hope it will be able to vote.
Sydney is from Sacramento and was eager to participate in the march.
I decided to participate in the march today because we need change, we need unity, and we need someone held accountable of their actions, especially cops or anyone in bigger practice, because this is dehumanizing people, and we need people to stand up, and I need to be out here to speak up for my people, for everyone, and we need a voice.
She feels strongly about Black Lives Matter and is concerned that some may be misconstruing the message.
It doesn't mean that all lives don't matter, because of course all lives matter, but Black lives are suffering bad, really, really bad, and it's been happening for years and years and years. So we are the ones that are in the most trouble right now. And yes, all lives matter, but Black lives are suffering deeply, and it's a movement that we need to make aware of everyone and to take care of their Black people, no matter what color you are.
Sydney feels encouraged by the huge display of support and turnout at the march.
I was feeling positivity, like people wanted change, people are tired, people are fed up, and people decided to finally come together and march for what's right and for human rights in general. It's positive vibes, and I'm glad to see it, and I love to see it. People of all color, and that's what we need.
A march participant from Fresno, who has requested to remain anonymous, agrees.
Today I've been feeling joy. I've been feeling heard, seen, I'm hopeful. I mean, we had elected leaders here, and I think that's huge. Like, some of those leaders have not always been on the right side of history, but to see them out here today and to have their words said to everyone, so it's not like they're making these decisions or making these words behind closed doors. They're saying it to their community, and now their community can hold them accountable, and I think that's what was missing in the past.
She also feels a sense of obligation.
As a Black woman, I feel like it's my responsibility to be out here for my people, but also I wanted to make sure that I was out here because this is history. I think this time is different because we have a lot of people that aren't part of our community, and I think that's signs that we're changing history.
The Fresno protester urged the community to vote and support Black businesses. She also described the personal significance of Black Lives Matter.
For some people, Black Lives Matter is a movement, but for me and my community, this is our life. We're not talking about people that, although the most recent deaths have not occurred in California, this is my life. That could have been me. That could have been my dad. That could have been my brother.
People from the broader Sacramento region were in attendance at the march, including a number of Davis residents. Abby Fisher, a junior at Da Vinci High, was among them.
I want to use that privilege that I have of being able to go out and stand up for what I believe in.
Fisher was pleased to see the amount of diversity represented at the march.
I was feeling like joyful, I guess, because it wasn't just black people there. There was a lot of white people and other people of different ethnicities. And just made me happy that everyone's coming together and from all different towns.
Davis High junior Amna Ali also chose to march to show her support for the black community in Sacramento and to demonstrate that people from Davis stand with them.
It was really beautiful. There was a lot of unity. There was people singing, dancing, caring for another, some great speakers. So it was a lot of it was really well organized, and I think it was really impactful. I really liked the pastor when he was talking today. He was talking a lot about, we all make mistakes, when we're speaking, and even him as a black person, he's made mistakes talking, but you shouldn't stop talking. You should keep going and learn from those mistakes. I think that's really important for people to understand.
Back in Davis, a protest was scheduled to occur the same afternoon. However, the night before, the organizer, Amber Griego, posted a message on Facebook canceling the event after receiving concerns from community members about her potential endangerment of black protesters. Davis resident and DHS alumna Simone Gamble decided to participate in the Davis demonstration despite the event's cancellation.
She didn't have a plan if we were to get arrested. There is no bail plan. That's not really what do we do if something happens with the police. So it didn't really have any true reason for being canceled. It was more that people were upset that the organizer did not fully think through the protest. But it was more just police intervention. She was working with the police with the protest, and I guess when being confronted with options of how the police could put us in danger, she didn't think about that, and she ended up canceling it. You can't just cancel that just because you as the person who created it doesn't feel comfortable all of a sudden.
Gamble was disappointed that the cancellation deterred people.
If you learn about a protest, unless it's canceled by, someone with extreme authoritative power for safety precautions, you should never bail on a protest. I think that's the only thing I'd say. You should never bail on a protest. Because you have to fight for it. You can't be scared of it.
However, she was glad to join with those that showed up.
Because there were still a lot of people, and even though it was disorganized, there were UC Davis students, there were a ton of students that took that leader role to get us to move and to tell us where we're going and to get us started. I guess it was nice knowing that people actually came despite what was going around, and that they still cared even if someone said it was canceled.
The smaller group of protesters joined in chants as they marched from Community Park to the Davis Police Station.
Black Lives Matter! Black Lives Matter!
Once one chant starts going, you kind of get filled with confidence when you're going down the street.
Black Lives Matter!
This is Katrina Hawes reporting. Protesting is not the only way community members have expressed their support for Black Lives Matter. Some Davis residents are using different methods to honor the Black lives lost to racial violence. Jihan Moon has the story.
On Sunday, May 31st at Central Park, Kate Mill and Ernie Baba set up a memorial for Black victims of police brutality, George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, and Tony McDade. She gave it the name Solidarity Space.
And I just said, you know what, we're going to take this space. We're going to take this space for grief, for togetherness, for everything that is happening in the world, for people to have a space to think about what it is to be an anti-racist, for folks to talk to their children about this, for folks of color to come and grieve and mourn and have a respectful place to do that and find a place in this community, which is predominantly white-centered, to have it for them.
After Kate constructed the memorial, NJ Vondo took over as a coordinator and organizer for their planned events.
I wanted to make sure that a Black woman was represented in the space and could actually take events and take over the space. I would hold it in using my privilege, but I wanted her to make sure that it was for her people and how she, you know, saw this month going.
Their first event was this past Saturday, June 6th.
Today we're having a series of short readings. So
the first speaker, Suleyane Baba, fixated on racism in Davis, localizing the nationwide issue. Sule grew up in Nigeria and moved to Davis when he was 13. He has now lived in Davis for 20 years. Sule argues that a lack of interaction with people of differing races as a child can be partly attributed to racially insensitive adults.
I knew what a white person was probably right after I was born. And what that does is, as a young kid, you welcome that. What I realized is coming to Davis, the story wasn't like that for young white kids.
Sule also points to DJUSD's curriculum as a weak spot in Davis's racial injustices, claiming that it is neither inclusive nor diverse.
The books I read did not prep me to understand what this culture meant. I knew very little about African-American history, and I also had to educate myself.
Katrina Laws Ewald was the next speaker. She started by speaking out against the oppression she has faced.
I have been told as a librarian to stay in my lane, and I just want to let you know that as an educated Black woman who is not educated enough, will never stay in a lane that keeps me in fear. I will not be silenced by the things that have happened.
Laws Ewald read two passages from Brown Girl Dreaming by Jacqueline Woodson.
Stand on the bases of lampposts and scream, say it loud!
The final speaker was NJ Vondo. She read a poem by Davis activist Sandy Holman. After the readings, Vondo reflects on the pain and anger she feels about police brutality.
I cannot wrap my head around how can a human being do that to another human being? Like, what goes into the head? Like, what is the rationale? There is no explaining that. I can't help but wonder how are police officers recruited? Like, really, what mental or what psychological tests do they go through? Like, how are they not able to spot those behaviors before they happen?
Every night at 7:30, the several candles on the memorial are lit in an act of solidarity with Black victims nationwide. The Solidarity Space will continue through the end of June, and there will be a new event each week. This is Jihan Moon reporting.
The news cycle is produced by the Blue Devil Hub in collaboration with the Davis Enterprise. Producers include Katrina Hawes, Jihan Moon, Iris Harshaw, and Dahlia Krause. Our theme music is by Daniel Ruiz Jimenez. Thank you for listening. See you next time, Davis.